Three major religions will observe important holidays next month. Christians will celebrate the resurrection of Christ on Easter on April 12th. Ramadan, the Muslim holy month of prayer, fasting, and introspection, begins April 23rd. And Jews will recall their exodus from Egypt during Passover, a week-long holiday beginning April 8th. All of these holidays typically involve large gatherings in houses of worship, be they churches, mosques, or synagogues, and they all usually culminate with family gatherings and large meals. These are not typical times, though, and as people grapple with the stresses of facing a global pandemic, many turn to faith for comfort. Yet the health measures being asked of us are antithetical to the sense of community and assurance we seek from a religion. So we spoke with some leaders of Valley religious institutions about how they are talking with their members and preparing for the holidays. Imam Omar Tawil leads the Islamic Community Center of Tempe, a mosque and community resource that has served Muslims in the region since 1984. Tawil is focused on the health of the center's members.
One thing that we're definitely going to be looking forward to canceling entirely is definitely the iftars, or the breaking of the fast that we host at the mosque every day. The mosque in Tempe has always been seen as a place for families, for students, professionals, or just a group of friends to really come out and break their fast together over a warm meal, to pray together, and then continue praying into the night or to go home and prepare for the next day.
And as for Ramadan?
Ramadan, in terms of the fasting and in terms of the breaking the fast with family and friends, might continue, but it will probably be continuing in very small gatherings, and it will not be happening at the mosque.
Passover begins next month as well, and Jews would normally gather for the service.
There's only one service that really occurs during Passover, and that's the Yisker service, and that happens three times a year, once during Sukkot, and once during Shavuot, and once during Passover.
That's Seth Ettinger, Temple Beth Israel's cantor. He is hopeful social distancing will not be necessary next month, but the temple is preparing nonetheless.
You're supposed to come together and really remember those who have passed away in the past year. That will be affected only in the idea that 10 people, at least at this point, maybe it'll be different by the time Passover comes around, can only come into the sanctuary at one time.
And as one door closes, another opens. In this case, the blessing of technology. Again, Cantor Ettinger.
Now, however, our services are live streamed. So just because people are not physically in the room doesn't mean they still don't have a chance to remember their loved ones.
Imam Tawil explained that Islam encourages its followers to pray at home, that prayer services are necessary for social connections, but that a connection to God is also very personal.
There is no, ordained ministry that has to lead a prayer service or that leads the gathering in order for people to feel that, I guess you say, sense of worship or sense of spirituality or connection to the divine.
Many faith leaders see this as a teaching moment, an opportunity to take time and reflect on our roles in our communities and what is important to us. Again, Beth Israel's Cantor Ettinger.
They're initially afraid and frustrated, our community is, because they haven't thought about this in this way before, because we've been doing the same thing for a very, very long time. And now we have an opportunity to point out the blessings that they do have. And that's what we're trying to do. Don't look at the frustrations. Look at the blessings that you have.
The decision to close down operations was not an easy one, but Ettinger describes how and why Beth Israel agreed to close down.
This was a very difficult decision. I mean, in Judaism, there's that classic joke that you get two Jews in a room, you'll get three opinions. I mean, we really went around and talked about not only what was best for the community, but what we aspire to is this idea of pikuach nefesh, that life must be preserved above all else. So all of our actions are designed to go ahead and maintain good health for our community, whether they're with us or not.
And in the mosque, Imam Tawil teaches a command from the Quran that is nearly identical to the koash nefesh that Cantor Ettinger described.
A majority of people are using their heads correctly. They are taking the necessary precautions, which is a commandment of, it's a very thrown out word, a word that gets thrown out there, but of the Sharia or the Sharia, which is to really preserve life and take the necessary precautions. It's an injunction that we find in our holy scripture. Take the necessary precautions to protect yourself and to protect others.
Both of the men with whom we spoke agreed we may come out of this better for the experience. Kanner Ettinger.
The silver lining in all of this is that we're not go, 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 go anymore. And we can actually take the time to call people and see how they're doing and be on a phone call with them for more than just a couple minutes.
For Imam Tawil, this may ironically be an opportunity for people to draw closer together.
I miss connection, and I feel like that can maybe give us something to look forward to once this is over, is that we will no longer take our human connections for granted.
The Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix provides services for more than 1.2 million Catholics in the region. And with the Eucharist and Easter holidays coming up, the church is grappling with temporarily closing its doors while keeping its connections with the community alive. Bishop Thomas Olmsted oversees the diocese, and he spoke with our co-host Steve Goldstein about the church's plans for serving its congregation while maintaining social distancing. He began by asking the bishop, what is the message the diocese is sharing with its congregation?
Primarily, we're inviting our people to trust in God. This is a very uncertain time. And so we're like being led out into the desert. But Jesus said, I will lead you into the desert, and there I will speak to your heart. So we're inviting our people to trust that God's with us. He'll continue to speak to us, and he'll give us the grace we need to face the big challenges that we have ahead of us.
What sort of reaction has the diocese gotten from members of the community?
It's been very mixed. Because we've had to discontinue having public mass, that's very painful to all of us. So that's been really hard for people. Most of them understand, but it is just really a great sacrifice for everyone. So we've encouraged everyone to watch the televised mass and be in spiritual communion with the mass, which is being offered privately or with a very small group at this time.
Is there a difference from a generational standpoint, how people are reacting to it? Especially, we always consider that those who are younger are a little bit more tech savvy, and also perhaps those who are a little bit older are more used to the routine of going to Mass.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's also the fact that the younger you are, you're not so aware of the fragileness of human life. So I think the older ones are much more aware of that fact, and it's a little more fearful to some of them. And because we're told that those who are 60 and older are in a much more vulnerable state at the present time. So that impacts a lot, I think, their emotional response and reaction to this great crisis.
One thing that is, of course, so vital for people who attend Mass is the Eucharist. Can you talk a bit about how the Eucharist is affected by this?
Oh, it's affected greatly. Because, you know, to keep the Lord's Day holy, to make Sunday a very special day, is built around especially going to Mass together as a family. So that's a really big change for everyone. And we really feel that deeply, very keenly. As long as this virus is as it is now, so dangerous, that's going to be there. So we're asking our people to remember, we are having the Mass offered privately, separately, so that we're praying, offering these prayers to God, but we're postponing the ability to have it in a public setting. But encouraging people to watch it, to enter into the spirit of that, pray with their families, pray for others who are sick, and to find strength and encouragement from God, who said, I'm with you always.
What about social services that are so vitally important provided by the church, by the diocese? How are you going about that?
Well, that's a really big challenge. We're so blessed. We have, I think, the largest St. Vincent de Paul Society in the world, who have a great deal of experience and a large number of ways that they serve our people. I know they're making a number of adjustments and will continue to have to do that. So we're blessed to have them. We have Catholic Charities, who have many ways that they reach out to people. Each of our parishes, nearly every parish has a smaller group of St. Vincent de Paul. Then we have a lot of food kitchens and things like that. But there's adjustments in order to protect everyone in this. And those take extra time. And there's also sometimes a difficulty in getting things we would need to be safe in terms of not catching the virus.
Mm-hmm. Easter, of course, just around the corner in less than a month. How are you planning Easter? Are you sort of sticking with where you're at right now in terms of what you have to deal with?
Well, at this stage, from what we're hearing from the CDC and from our local healthcare professionals, from the governor, from the president, we don't anticipate we're going to be able to have public celebrations of these great mysteries that I felt most important, actually, public demonstrations of our faith and the mysteries of our life in Christ. So we don't think that's going to be possible. And that's really, of course, a great pain for all of us to think about.
That is Bishop Thomas J. Olmsted of the Diocese of Phoenix. Bishop Olmsted, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless you.